Everybody by live stream. We've already had a blast in the Lord this morning. Glad you're with us and wish you were here with us. Amen. But I'll just get back to where I was. So anyway, I got this typed up and I'm not used to this way yet, and hopefully I did it right, and it's all in there. So we'll just get this thing kicked off. This is part two of the message that the Lord gave me to talk about love. And he has opened my eyes in a big way through these last couple weeks as I've spent time in these scriptures. And anyway, it's a good thing, y'all. And his love, and you know, we went through that in the first part, and that was maybe one of the biggest revelations he gave me and how much he loves me. Amen. You know, as I spent time in these scriptures, and you know, I'd heard that all my life. God loves you, God's with you, you know, all those things. But I tell you, spending this time in meditation in the Word with him over this and going to him to show me, that was one of the biggest things I got from it, was his love for me, and it was beautiful. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I'd like to open with a prayer. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. For loving us so much that you gave Jesus to die for us so that we could be with you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness, Father, your faithfulness, and for your kindness. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit and for your love being in us, Lord. We ask and thank you for strengthening us and leading us, that we may love others as you have commanded. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen to that, right? Hallelujah. So first thing I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to stand in the authority given to me by Christ Jesus. In the holy and mighty name of Jesus Christ, I command any spirit that is not of God, any spirit of doubt or fear, or any spirit of unbelief to leave this place now. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. I got this. I want to thank you, Pastor, for giving me another a day to wrap this up and for just the opportunity you've given me over these past, you know, this is my fourth time. This is quattro, y'all. Fourth time up here, and whoo. Yeah, they get out here in a minute. The Holy Spirit will just take over for me, and it'll get out in a minute. But, man, my knees are knocking. But thank you, sir. Thank you. I apologize I'm so long-winded. And I really tried to make sure this didn't go into part three.
Don't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, I've learned well. Thank you for teaching me, by the way. So, you know, I always kind of like to start with some lyrics that have hit me, and this one is a good one. If anybody had a reason to turn around and walk away, it was you. Nobody would have blamed you if you dusted off your hands and said, I'm through. When everybody else was leaving, you could have packed your bags and headed out of town. But you kept on coming for me because you know love's a battleground. When everybody said you're crazy, he's a hopeless case. A waste of time. Ain't nothing ever going to change him. Even all those prayers and all those tears you cried. But you walked right through the fire and never thought of backing down. You kept on coming for me because you know love is a battleground. Thank you for keeping on coming for me, Jesus. It took a while for me to catch up and to grab a hold, y'all. But I'll tell you what. I praise him every day that he never gave up on me. That's good stuff, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we'll get started with a little refresher from last week. Most of y'all were here. If you weren't, you might be able to see it on the thing, the internet or whatever. I don't know. But last week, we basically looked at God's love for us. That's where we started. And like I said earlier, a while ago, that he really touched me in this, in his love for us, you know. And, you know, we we followed up our look into God loving us and how we're supposed to love God, how we should love God, how he deserves our love. So this week, we're looking at the next one, loving others. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So the reason I titled this love, this two-part thing, love, is that's what he told me. You know, when I asked him, he said love. And I heard love, and I said, okay, love, huh? But, you know, as I started getting into it, spending some time with him, those are the two greatest commandments Jesus gave us. I mean, those are the top two. You know? And I started thinking, wow, I've dropped the ball here a lot in my life. Does anybody remember the two greatest commandments? We went over it. Yeah. Good job, y'all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Basically, well, one version says all your strength. But basically, all that you are should love God, right?
Yes, sir.
And then the second one, which we'll get to today, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and I want to clarify for any of you Austins that are sitting in the crowd, when Jesus said neighbor, he meant people we're in contact with. People we're around, right? Not just a guy that lives next door. Some of ours that live next door are easy to love, some ain't. I can tell you that right now. You know, and some of us need a little more help than others. So I just wanted everybody to know that by neighbor, he means everybody. Everybody, right? Your neighbor could be your spouse, your family, your friends, your coworkers, even your pastor, yeah. Right? That lady serving you lunch,
all right.
Or those that are selling us our groceries at the store, or whatever it could be, y'all. Whoever we come in contact with or that we're around. Even that guy that cuts us off in traffic and tells us we're number one in his life. You know that guy. And ultimately, y'all, even those that hate us. That hate us. That's a pretty tall order Jesus gave us there.
Yes, sir.
But I said it in part one. God's going to pull us out of the ditch with his word and show us how.
Yes, sir.
He always does. But before we get to all that, let's finish up our look at loving God and go back to 1 John 4:16. Now, all these I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, and I was supposed to bring my Amplified, but it's at Granny's. So they're going to try to get it on the screen when I've got to read from the Amplified in here, and we'll see how that goes. If not, I'll just read from old New King here. So 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And like I said, y'all, you know, God really opened my eyes to his love for me through this. And I praise him. And it just gave me more reason to wake up excited and praise him every day. Thank you for loving this old dude. For never turning from me. Like in the lyrics, he kept on coming for me. And he was always there. When I didn't deserve it. Praise God. So one way abide is defined is to rest or dwell. So I just kind of went through some practical ways that we can abide in and show God we love him. Now, y'all, this might take a little adjustment to your current lifestyle. It might need a little tweaking. But I promise you, the benefits and the blessings are well worth it.
Yes, sir.
I'm living proof. And plus, God deserves it from us, y'all.
Yeah.
He deserves all we are.
That's right.
So ways we can abide in him and show him we love him. I even bullet pointed these. Holly saw it. She was like, dang, baby, he bullet pointed them and everything. One click at a time, man. It took a while to get it this fancy, y'all. So these are the ways we can abide in him and show him we love him. Committed, daily, and consistent prayer. And I recommend this be the first thing you do. It's the first thing I do every day. Daily time with God and his word, you know, including meditating on the word. Not just looking at the little scripture card or the little bling that pops up on the phone and then going on back down the road without him. Spend some time with him. Fix your mind on him. Bible said he something about he whose mind is fixed on you is at perfect peace. You know, another way is regular fellowship with others. You know, and we're doing that right now. Regular fellowship, studying, discussing God's word, learning from each other, iron sharpening the iron. And one of the best ways we can do this is with our spouses and our families. If they're willing, you know, don't try to force the Bible down them. I got forced Bible a lot, slapped in the head with it, and it never worked. And I tried to do that early on with this one, and it didn't work. Yeah, don't recommend that. But if they're willing, be willing ourselves. Another way is praying and talking with God throughout the day. You know, just always on your mind that he's always there. You know, and I'd use this, y'all. And we talked about it, man up. You know, the things that come up that try to frustrate me or the devil tries to throw something in there just to get in my goat, you know. I just thank him for something. Well, thank you, God. At least I didn't break my foot or whatever it may be, you know, that I try to bring myself to prayer. I mean, to thankfulness and to just include him throughout my entire day. Focusing on gratitude and praise. He heard enough of my complaining in my life. You know, and this is a big one for me, y'all. Bringing him into conversations, to interactions, telling others, giving him glory. Yeah. You know, I'll see people and you know, me and Holly, we were at the movies the other night and we asked, you know, she said something about, how you doing or something? Oh, I'm doing all right. And, you know, I said, well, hey, man, you need us to pray for you? And he kind of perked up. No, I'm all right, you know. But just things like that, you know, just letting others know who your God is and giving him glory. And this is a good one, and I think it's a very important one too. I think it's very important. But active involvement, giving your time and talents back to the body of Christ. It takes a lot to be this body. So let's abide in him more, y'all. Let's dwell in him, right? Let's rest in him. Let's love him and allow his love to flow through us. Because it will. So I hope y'all got something from that look into God loving us and us loving God. You know, a revelation. Because I did, man. I tell you. And I hope it lit a little fire in you. To love him a little more. Do a little more. Love him back, you know. So now part two. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving people as ourselves. That's a big one. Isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, come on. Y'all with me on this. Like, really, Jesus, that guy? She said it too. Early on in her life when God told her about us, she said, that guy? And I have to say, brothers and sisters, it's a tough one for me. It's tough for me to love those that I love. The feelings of love, my family, you know, those. Much less all of them out there. It's tough for me. And I got a feeling I ain't alone in this. Anybody else in that boat with me? We'll keep on rowing, man. We'll get there. Oh. But it's the second greatest commandment Jesus gave us. Number two. So I think it's pretty important we strive in this. We've got to make effort at this. And y'all, most importantly, at least for me, I got to see God's help in this.
Yes, sir.
Daily, hourly, second by second sometimes. Oh, liking others, accepting others, and loving others. It seems to come more natural for some folks. I don't know. And I didn't put a lot of thought in that, and we ain't going to. Because God doesn't really say much in his word about why it's natural for some and or more natural for some and not so natural for others, really. But, you know, for instance, that little angel right there, she's so sweet deep down. Well, most of the time, but naturally, she's so sweet and kind and giving. And you know, me, naturally, not so much. We couldn't count the many times in our marriage she just looked at me like, what is wrong with you, man? Or my words or my actions or whatever, you know? It just comes more natural for her. We were flipping through the TV one night and this ad for the bacon show comes on, these competitions. She loves to watch that. She cooks, she feeds people. She's just got a gift at it, right? But she loves to watch these people cooking for competition. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, she goes, oh, I just love that show. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then she goes, but I just hate people have to lose. I feel so bad for them. You know, it's like 10 people on there or something, you know, and only one wins. So she's feeling bad for these 9 losers. And, you know, and y'all, get this. Here's the difference I'm talking about. And I'm just being honest. My first thought, well, I wouldn't care if that ugly chick with the nose ring lost. That's what was in me. And she's feeling bad for all of them if they got to lose. I didn't say it. Praise God. He's helped me bridle this tongue. Because the old me would have said it too. Wouldn't I? She knows. Thank you for not agreeing, baby. So he's helped me there. Y'all see how much I need God? Woo! I'm telling you. But that was my first thought, y'all. Again, I'm just being honest. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I've been telling her for years, I'm getting better. He's helping me, y'all. And only him. Because as we just saw, it ain't in here a lot of times with me. So her first thought was feeling and compassion. Mine wasn't. And it was, bless her heart, it was all because this poor chick was homely. I'm like, yeah, I mean, but that's it. That's where I was. And what I'm getting at is our words and our behavior and you know, our actions and our attitudes, they can't come from the feelings.
That's right.
We cannot let that come from the feelings. All right, well, let's get into a little word. I think we were in 1 John. So let's say 1 John 4. Now, Don, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. So if you could cue that up for me. If not, I'll go to the thing. So this is 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God. And he who loves his fellowman is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. Yes. Amen, right? So earlier in part one, I guess, we were looking at agape love and Jesus' example of selfless, sacrificial love and how we're called to love this way. I said God would pull us out of the ditch, right, with His word. Yeah. Well, He pulled up right here. He's hooking up the straps and locking in the hubs for us, y'all. He's going to yank us out, okay? Right here in this verse. In verse 7, we're told, let us love one another, for love is from God. Okay, so true love, real love, not feelings or emotions, right? We touched on that. But true love is from God. We all see that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's keep rolling then. So finish in verse 7. And he who loves is born of God, and is coming to know and understand God. So as I looked at that, I thought, well, let's explore this a little bit, the second part of verse 7. So most of us in here have been born again and saved, right? Amen. If you're not, I suggest you come to Jesus right now, today. So if we've been born again and saved, we've got the Holy Spirit inside us. The Bible tells us this, right? We've been born of God. The question is, are we coming to know and understand God? Are we coming? That hit me. Pastor says it a lot. I hadn't arrived. We're a work in progress, right? Are we coming? Or are we just same old, woo, I'm saved, as we were 20 years ago, 10 years ago? I spent, 30-something years as that guy. Yeah, I love Jesus. But I wasn't coming to know or understand Him, that's for sure. Knowing and understanding someone can only come from a relationship with them, right? From spending time together. So some of these couples we've had in here been married longer than some of us been alive. Praise God. I commend you people. And I would think it would be safe to say those couples that have been married a long time know each other pretty darn well, right? You spend 50, 60 years, whatever, with somebody, you're going to get to know them, right? And understand them. The guys are like, what you talking about, man? I've been married to this woman 50 years. I still don't understand her. No, I'm kidding. But I bet you understand them a little more than you did 50 years ago, huh?
Yeah,
right? That's from time together. The key part I'm trying to get at in this verse, or the key part that God showed me, is the coming to know and understand part. And y'all, this, brothers and sisters, this is a direct result of how much time we're spending with Him. Bottom line, love is from God. The more we are in God, the more He is in us. And the more of His love is in us. And we're going to see that throughout these scriptures today.
Amen.
You know, we were talking back there in our team meeting this morning, you know, God is so awesome for me that He brings relevance throughout His word and stuff. I mean, just so consistently with me. And for me, I guess He knows you got to beat it into this boy over and over and over, you know, Amen. Because He does. I mean, it just... You know, our devotion this morning touched right on what we're talking about today. You know, and He does that for me continuously, y'all. And I praise Him. And I, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I get it, man. He said, no, you don't. I'm going to get it to you again, boy. All right, where was I? That was not in the fancy notes. But now we know God is with us, right? We know he's here. Always. But how much are we with him? You know, these are the questions I ask myself and God. Maybe he asked me, how much are you with me, Austin? You consistently spending time with me in prayer, Austin? You spending time in my word, son? Are we walking and talking together throughout the day? You know, and y'all, it's a lot. And it's for me, you know, it's regularly sitting under the word and the teaching that God has given us in teachers, in church, and in fellowship together. These are the things we got to ask ourselves, you know. Our love of others has got to come from God's love in us. And his love is going to flow proportionate to our fellowship with him. It's just the way it is. As I told a while ago, it ain't in this, dude. But God's love is. And he helps me with it. All right, so let's look at verse 8. Now, I have that written here. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. You bet it is. You claiming you love them, Austin? You ain't loving them. You don't know me. Woo. He lays it down right there, doesn't he? You know, this is what Dr. Tony Evans said about this verse, though it's pretty self-explanatory. Doesn't need a lot of explaining. Even I got it. So I tweaked a little bit what Dr. Evans said, but this is basically it. Since God is love, an absence of love or consistent love in us reveals an absence of fellowship with God. It indicates that we don't know him like we claim we do or like we think we do. That's pretty straight up right there. Just like that verse. So, you know, as me and Jesus are hanging out and he's leading me through this and I'm meditating on the word and on verse 8, he brought these scriptures to my mind, you know, kind of regarding verse 8. For they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are set on evil. That's from back in the Old Testament somewhere, out of Proverbs or Psalms. I didn't look it up. And then another one, and this is Jesus. At this time they will say to me, but Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, away from me, I never knew you. Whew. The absence of love in us is the absence of God in us. You know? I don't want to be that guy. Mm-mm. Not anymore. I want to know and understand him. And I want him to know me. And my heart. I'm going to spend as much time as I can with him. We are blessed in this country. We have freedoms unlike any country in the world that we can spend as much time as we want with God. And I tell you what, this American right here will defend that to the day I die. I don't know where that came from because that ain't in here, but we are blessed. You know, and I was thinking, I wonder how many people have been turned away from Jesus. You know, that were only around Christians that didn't walk in love. I've seen it in my life. I've seen many Christians that didn't walk in love. I think we've all seen those Christians. And I think it's safe to say we've all been that Christian from time to time. I know I have. I'm referring to the not walking in love part, right? I pray none of us have turned anybody away from Jesus. But I've been a Christian all my life, since I can remember, young little boy. And I didn't walk in the love of God, or at least much of it, for a long, long time. All right, now let's look at 9 and 10. Miss Dawn, please. In this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. That's 1 John 4:9. And then we'll look at 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen is right. So in these verses, we see the clearest definition of love. Love is visible. God's love was revealed. Love is an act of will. God sent his Son. Love is sacrificial. It cost God his only Son that we might live through him. Amen. That's love, right? We saw that part one. Love serves the unlovable or those that don't love back. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us, right? And lastly, love addresses sin. God sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Yes. Now, only Jesus can atone sin, right, for sin. But maybe through humility and love, we can help and lead others to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's a lot. I encourage y'all to spend some time with God in these verses on your own and meditate in them and let God reveal. That's how it works. We can read it. Blah, 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 blah. We can hear it. Blah, 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 blah. In one, out the other. They told me all my life, in one ear and out the other, boy. And it's true. But I tell you, sitting with him, spending time with him, he'll help it sink in. I promise. Again, I'm living proof. All right, let's move on because I'm wore out from all that. Oh, where are we? All right, mosey over to Romans 5, please. Romans 5, and I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given us. So what I want us to see in this verse, y'all, is that if the Holy Spirit is in us, then the love of God is in us. We can walk in it.
Amen.
We can. So that means we're capable of using God's love that's in us. But it doesn't do us a bit of good to have something if we don't use it. And the only way we can access it or use it, use God's love, is by fellowship with him. You know, we saw that earlier. The more we are in God, the more evident his love will be in our lives. So I'll read what Gladys M. Hunt said about this, and I'm not familiar with this lady, but I ran across it and I thought it was pretty good. She said, our resources are inexhaustible. God keeps pouring his love into our hearts. He not only makes us feel loved, but he is so generous in his supply that we have an overflow of love for others. He's going to keep pouring that love in you the more you spend with him. This can only be attained from fellowship with him, brothers and sisters. Like we saw, it ain't in us. It's got to be God's love. And that was what I touched on earlier. I have to seek God's help in this. Every day that's in my prayer. Every day. So here's a familiar verse from 4:13, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I encourage us all to spend more time with him. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the love comes from. We can love others through Christ's strength in us. And that's the only way, as far as I'm concerned, or that I see. If anybody else sees something different, let me know, because I'm missing it. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I've experienced this in my own life. And praise God, others see it. You can't help but see it in people. Me and Holly walking through the airport one time, and a while back, and we see this handicapped person, bless him, man. Thank you, God, I'm able in my body. I think he was blind. I don't remember. Well, I just said something. You know, we're just walking along, and I just said something sweet and a prayer for him. And Holly Pop looked at me, and she said, I love that you're so sensitive now. Thank you. I'm like the Grinch, y'all. My heart's grown 10 sizes bigger. It's God's love. And it's because I use his love. It's all God, every bit of it. Amen. And it's all, y'all, I've experienced this in my own life. It's all because I consistently fellowship with God. No matter what, no matter where I am, my daily routine of spending time with Jesus doesn't change, no matter what I'm going through. And I tell you, it's changed me. A lot of y'all can testify to that. It's changed my life. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo, y'all. I told you I was excited. Can't help it, man. All right. Well, let's look at some more scripture. So since we're there, we'll just look at 1 John 4:4. And I'll bring this out of the New King James. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, in this verse, y'all, it's primarily talking about spirits that are not of God and stuff. But the point it brings across on the topic of loving others for me is greater is he who is in me than me. I can love others through Christ in me. Jesus said it this way. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I even red lettered it, y'all. That's how fancy this is. For me, I have to remain in fellowship with Jesus daily and constantly. Like I said, sometimes second by second. I probably need his guidance more than a lot of y'all. But we all must remain in him in order to have the slightest chance of loving others as he called us to. It's got to come from him, y'all. All right, let's move out of John's stuff for a bit, which, by the way, again, John and 1 John and 2 John, 3, I mean, God leads me to that so much, and it's great stuff, man. I encourage y'all to explore it. I mean, it's all great stuff, but those are love chapters. Well, maybe that's why God leads me there. Thanks for pointing that out, Pastor. Anyway, let's go on to Colossians 3. We're going to look at Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Boy, y'all better hurry up. This is going to be part 3 before we know it. Goodness. All right, Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, or patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Then verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So as believers, we're all supposed to display these characteristics that culminate in love. You know, and pastors always telling us, we're a work in progress, y'all. We're on our way, right? We're coming to know and understand. Well, what if we focused first in this progression of obedience to loving others with our marriages? And those that aren't married, with those you spend the most time with. What would it look like if we all chose to fellowship with God more? If we allow God's love to flow through us more? More and more toward our spouses and those closest to us. As we strengthen our relationship with Christ, what would that look like? I believe that as we develop this love in us and deliberately practice walking in it, when it comes to our spouses and our family, those closest to it that we're in contact with all the time, it automatically starts spilling over out to them out there. And I tell you, you know, for me in this thought, there's no greater opportunity for me to walk in love or challenges to walk in love and be in obedience to this command than in my marriage. I spend more time with her than anyone. Well, other than maybe Granny, and ooh, I got to practice it there too. Believe me. And as far as succeeding in this, in obedience to this command, there's no more important relationship to me than her. And I'm telling you, that's from God, because I wasn't that man for a long time. But I am now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the best part is, the better I get at this, the sweeter she is. Woo! It's a win-win. Amen. For old Audie. Whoo! Now, before we get on a runaway marriage sermon, let's slide over to verses 19 and 20. Colossians 3, 19. New King James. 19 tells us, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. One version says, do not be harsh with them. And then 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, this verse in different translations goes a lot deeper, and I encourage you to explore it in different versions, because it's basically giving us all the wisdom we need toward our children, dads. Now, let's read the Colossians version. That'll be the Amplified version, Miss Dawn. Colossians 3, 19 and 21. I don't know if I put that in the note. I'm sorry if I didn't. I think I might have skipped that one. Husbands, love your wives. Be affectionate and sympathetic with them. And do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Now, what's 21 say? Thank you, Dawn. Man, she is good, y'all. Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them or harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and morose and feel inferior and frustrated. Don't break their spirit. And that's one reason I wanted to look at that, because that goes a lot more in depth than the New King James Version as far as the children are concerned, you know. Now, there's verses in there for wives and children too. So y'all can explore that on your own. But no, not yet. Tread lightly, son, right? But I brought up our part, men, because it starts with us.
Yes, sir. Come on now. That'll
preach. We're to lead by example. And y'all, here's the thing. Even if it ain't consistently reciprocated. Remember, Christ died for us when we didn't love him. So, fellas, when she ain't being real cool, she ain't being real loving, just remember verse 19. Say it with me, guys. Y'all ready? Husbands, love your wives. Oh, come on, louder than that. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. Amen. Not that mine ever acts that way. I'm just trying to help y'all out, okay? All right, let's move on. Let's look at Ephesians 4. The clock's ticking, brothers and sisters. We got some fancy pages of notes to get through here. All right, Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. New King James, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bear with one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, let's see what Amplified says about that, Ms. Dawn, please. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, and mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Amen. And making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and the oneness of, and produced by, the Spirit and the binding power of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all, I want peace when it comes to her and with all y'all, with everybody. I didn't walk in peace for a long time, and I got busted in the head a lot. This is much better. Yes, sir. I promise. So as we see in this, just like we saw in Colossians, we are to bear with one another. We're to be patient with one another. And here's the big one. Forgive one another. Totally and fully forgive. No matter what. This is crucial, y'all. This part is crucial. We cannot walk in God's love without forgiveness. If we're holding a grudge, keeping score, resentments from past mistakes, we are not and cannot walk in the love of God. If any of those things are in our lives, we are failing at this command. It's the key, man. Let it go. Amen. Let it go, man. I think Chong said it. Weren't Cheech or Chong, one of them. Let it go, man. None of us is perfect. Only Jesus is perfect.
There you go. Amen.
I love to hear her laugh. Oh, where was I? None of us is perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. I'm trying to be serious here, honey. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes, sir.
The Word also tells us in Jeremiah and Isaiah that God forgives and forgets our sins.
Amen.
I think we should all be like some of these older folks we're hanging around with and be a little more forgetful when it comes to that, right? I wasn't looking at nobody in here. But y'all, we got to forgive,
yes,
brothers and sisters. We got to let it go, man. Woo! Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Forgiveness, y'all. It's a big, big, big part of this love thing. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, God's really dealt with me when it comes to forgiveness. My whole life, from early on, I mean early on, y'all. Resentment, unforgiveness, remembering the wrongs, revenge. It was a big part of my MO. I was not the one to let something slide. Do me wrong, I'll get you back. That's how I rolled, man. That's how I operated. And the whole time, I'm talking a lot of years, that old devil was just grinning as he stole from me. He stole my peace, my joy, and worst of all, y'all, God's love that was in me. Because I was saved. Did that early on too. But God has opened my eyes. And he's opened my eyes with his word, y'all. He's corrected me. And he's changing me. And I'm getting better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Work in progress, right, Brother Hahn? Work in progress, man. Woo, thank you, Jesus. So on that, I thought, well, let's look at a few he used to correct me and change me. So in these scriptures we're fixing to look into, God told me to quit acting like a heathen and start acting like a Christian, son. So let's check out Romans 12. Did I put that one in the notes, Don? All right. Romans 12, 9 and 10. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Oathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good.
Yes, sir.
Love one another with brotherly love or brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. That's good stuff, y'all. That's what he hit me with. If we call ourselves Christians and we don't walk in love, we're hypocrites. That's just bottom lines. Remember old Si, that's a fact, Jack. Now slide down a bit to verse 17. Because God corrected me big time here. And again, y'all, you know, I want to hit on, I'd probably heard them verses no telling how many times in my life. But until I sat with him and I meditated with him and I spent time with him, they didn't sink in one and out the other. But they've sunk in now, hallelujah. Romans 12, 17 and 19. And again, he corrected me big time here, y'all. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. All my life I retaliated. Whether it was in word or deed, I was real quick to repay evil for evil. Then God showed me this. And like I say, I probably heard it no telling how many times in my life. But he showed it to me when I was with him. And I tell you, as far as this scripture is concerned, I have to go to Jesus every day for help in this. Every day. My natural reaction hit me, I hit back. But Jesus helps me. Thank you, Jesus. So, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And he spoke to me with this one, y'all. Don't worry about others. You worry about you, Austin. As it depends on you, Austin, if possible, walk in peace toward everyone. Yes, sir. And then he really helped me with this one, y'all. This one kind of made it all a little better. 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't got to worry about it. This helped me a ton, y'all. Knowing I could trust him, take care of what needed taken care of. Y'all know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Y'all familiar with the word sensuis? We're going to learn a little bit today. Sensuis. Since we's there, let's look at verse 21. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Let's overcome evil with good, y'all. Let's overcome hate with love. Let's show the world our God is real. And let's show them with our love. Man, I hope y'all getting something out of this. I truly did, and I thank you, Father. We're almost there, y'all. Stay with me. 12 on the money. Turn over to John 15. And we're going to look at that in the Amplified. John 15, 9 through 13. John 15, 9. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. verse 10. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on his love. And live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. Woo, y'all. He gets us there, doesn't he? Man, thank you, Jesus. Let's abide in his love.
Amen.
Let's hear his word and obey it.
Yes, sir.
That his joy may be complete in us. Let's love one another. Let's put ourselves aside for others and show the world God's love in us. Let's show them God, y'all. Let's show them God, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. They'll know. They'll see it. I like what Joyce Meyer said about that verse. Don't spend time and effort on things that have no lasting value and don't add to the kingdom of God. We should all take a regular and honest inventory of our love walk, brothers and sisters. Do we study love? Biblical love. Do we purposely walk in love? Purposefully. Remember, we saw earlier, love is an act of will. Do we even know what love is? Hopefully, through all this, we learned a little bit. I've been yapping about it for 2 sessions now. The Bible says love is seen in our behavior toward one another.
Yes, sir.
It is by our love that the world will know we are Jesus' disciples. The world will not be impressed with anything other than seeing consistent love among Christians. This will impress people because it is rarely seen and it's impossible for anyone to maintain without Jesus Christ in their lives. Talk is easy, but the world needs action. They need to see action. God is love. So when people see real love in us, they see God. All right, let's finish up our look into loving others. Go back to 1 John 4:17 through 21. First John 4:17. Amplified. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection within us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. So in verse 17, we see if we've abided in love, we've abided in God. And God has abided in us. And therefore, we can stand boldly before Jesus on that day. Now, let's look at 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. It has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Wow. Again, right here he's telling us, if we've walked in love, we should have no fear of judgment. We will hear, well done. Right? All right, we're trying to roll through them. 1 John 4:19. Telling y'all, he showed me a lot. We could have made this three parts here, that's for sure. Oh, this is a quick one. We love him because he first loved us. And some versions say we love because he first loved us. You know, it's relating to his love in us. Right? It's pretty simple in this one that our capacity to love is only possible through him because he loved us first. Now we'll finish up that little set of scriptures in 20 and 21. 1 John 4:20-21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates, detests, or abominates his brother in Christ, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has seen. And in 21, and this command, charge, order, injunction, we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother, believer also. Now, a lot of those scriptures are referring to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we can try to apply them toward others as well, and hopefully they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can. Y'all, our love of God is not measured by what we say. It's measured by what we do. We love others through God's loving us. And we love God by loving others. Dr. Evans said it like this: God has intertwined loving him and loving his children. You can't disconnect them. So I'll close with these scriptures, Jake. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And this is another familiar one. We've all heard this one. This is from the NIV. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And finally, 1208, y'all. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. This is from New King James. Verse 13. Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. All right. No, one more. Hold on. One more. John 13:18. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for your word, Father. All right. Y'all want to stand with me and we'll wrap this thing up. So right, and I didn't include this in my notes, so I got a picture if I can find it, y'all. Bear with me just a minute. All right, so we want to give everyone an opportunity to come to Jesus, or just reaffirm your confession, your dedication, and your life to Jesus Christ. Please say this with me if you want. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm born again. I'm saved. I am a child of God. I am free from the power of sin, and I serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In your precious name, amen. All right, well, as we wrap it up, I want to encourage y'all from 2 Chronicles 15:7, but as for you, Be strong and do not give up, and your work will be rewarded. Remember, we serve a loving and miracle-working God. He loves you, and you're next in line for your miracle.
Amen.
Let's walk in love, y'all. Love y'all. Have a blessed day.